Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Ronan. So Ronan, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, my name is Ronan Goldberg. I live currently in Austin, Texas, and at the moment I am running a company called Vapor Buddy. And thank you for having me on the show.
Awesome. So can you tell us more about Vapor Buddy, what it's all about, and how you got the idea for it?
So honestly, I can't take credit for the idea necessarily itself. A friend of mine, who I work with out of Israel on various projects, it was really his idea, and he was talking to me about it, and I wanted to get involved. Essentially, what Vapor Buddy is, a company that's geared towards A, cannabis education, B, educating people on vaping versus smoking, and not necessarily vaping like nicotine vapes. Like, that's not what we're about. Like, vaping cannabis flower, vaping cannabis concentrates, instead of smoking them. So that's a big part of our mission, is to enlighten people on the medical benefits of cannabis and also on what we consider better ways of intaking it, and as well as the culture that's there. So we do this by selling merchandise, accessories for cannabis use that are affordable for new people, especially in the game, because there's a lot of things that are more expensive for more like people who have been using cannabis for a long time. But then there's people with the way the cannabis market is now and growing. There's so many new people to the market. Here in Texas, for example, you have CBD shops popping up left and right every week, you know, and you get a lot of new users to these shops and people who have never used cannabis before in their life a lot of times. And so we want to also be there to help provide the necessary accessories, as well as information on how to use them, what's like, for example, when vaporizing cannabis flower, what's the best temperature to vaporize to get these specific cannabinoids, and things like that. And that's the basic gist of it. Building up the community is also really important to us.
Sure. So in terms of, you know, cannabis, obviously a very interesting subject, and I think, you know, Texas is probably one of the most restrictive states when it comes to laws, in terms of cannabis. So how do you overcome those hurdles, you know, running your business here out of Texas?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing, or one of the biggest things, is branding. Is like, you know, I have to make sure that it's known that everything I sell is for legal use. I actually market as, we don't sell our products for tobacco. Like, we have glass, products, and we have, dry herb vaporizers and things like that. And we say these are not for tobacco use. They're for legal cannabis use. And in Texas, I sell them for the use of CBD. And you have out there all these legal cannabinoid isolates also, like the Delta 8s and the Delta 9s and Delta 10s and all these things. I'm not a huge fan of these, but these things are also things that need to be, they're sold here, and they need to be marketed towards, that people who are using these legal cannabis products have the right knowledge on how to use them. You know, for so long, everyone's been about smoking, and we're really trying to change that specifically.
Sure. So you mentioned that you're a newer business when we spoke. So as of right now, what is your vision for it? Is it more like direct to consumer, or kind of, you know, B2B, where you sell to these local shops where they can sell your products? Like, what is the vision for scalability for your company?
That's an interesting question, because we actually went through a few different changes trying to sort out how we really wanted to approach this market, because as we know, especially in the U.S., it's a huge market that's growing. And we looked into several approaches. Originally, we were going to do a more B2B type of thing, but then we realized that the market is so oversaturated for that. And really, my friend / business partner out in Israel and myself, we're both geared more towards the educational side of things. Now, company doesn't run by educating people. So we obviously have to like bring in money. So what we decided was we're going to a lot of events, for example. So we'll show up at an event. We'll have information about cannabis. We'll have our vaporizers there, you know, usually cannabis events, hemp events and things like that. And then people can use our vaporizers, see what it's about and get that real hands-on interaction with people and bring the education there. I think that's one of the big things nowadays is because we've gotten so impersonal with technology and everything, that old school mentality of going out to the people, hitting the streets, setting up a table, I think that's really valuable now. And so that's one of the main ways we're getting our message out there. And I think with that, there's scalability in so much as we grow, we can have more, we can hire other people to do events for, you know, have specialists that do events and have them going all over the place. That's, I think, the main thing. The other niche that we're working with now that I'm actually in the process of setting into motion is working with small businesses and artists. There's a lot of glass artists out there, for example, in the cannabis culture. A lot of these guys have glass that sells for hundreds and thousands of dollars, but there's so many new guys. There's so many guys who have been in it for 8-10 years that still haven't like made it their full-time job. I've been actively searching for people, small businesses, glass artists, wood artists, and things like that. And as we speak, I'm in the process of loading a few artists onto my website right now. So that's our newest phase, promoting other small businesses and other artists to sort of build the community that way.
That's awesome. So when it comes to in-person events, obviously, I think it's an interesting strategy because to your point, you know, ever since COVID, people realized the importance of meeting people in person, making those connections. But can you talk more about, you know, even how you set yourself apart? Because if you go to, for example, one of these expos or events, there's lots of different people that are doing kind of similar things. So how do you differentiate your business from your competition?
I think there's two ways in general that we have in the past differentiated ourselves. One is the educational information. Very few people at these expos and things like that are approaching the educational side. There, you know, there are some, but very few are showing charts that show which cannabinoids generally affect which parts of the body or which cannabinoids, which terpenes evaporate at which temperatures. So having that information, I think, is a big difference from a lot of companies. The other thing that I've found, which I sort of also fell into, I found that has made a big difference, is actually this. I'll show you right now. One of the things we sell, which is this guy right here, and this has made a big difference. This is a press that people can press their own concentrates from cannabis flower or other various types of cannabis concentrates, using only heat and pressure, using no chemicals of any sort. So we bring those along and we'll like, where we can, we'll press flower for people. People bring their CBD flower and we'll press it and show them how they could use it. And it's a fun thing at shows and events. If we're in a place where they're really like not so cannabis friendly, we'll often take other herbs like lavender, for example, and press that and show how we can even get a lavender extract out of it. But that's, I think, been a big, I mean, I fell in love with it, but it's been a big gimmick for the company because nobody really does that. There really aren't any other people that I've seen so far that show up with a press and say, hey, we'll press things for you. Look how this works. So that's the other standout thing.
Makes sense. So you mentioned earlier that you have a partner in Israel, so which is really cool. So in terms of the people you're targeting, is it just here in the U.S. and Texas, or are you also reaching people in Israel? Like, what does that look like for you when it comes to growing your business?
So we originally started in Israel. That's where this business originally started, and we were working with pharmacies out there. We took a course of some pharmacists all about cannabis and learned a lot about it. It was originally starting there. We did find there's not as much of a market there just because it's such a small country, but also due to certain circumstances, my partner had to sort of take a step back for now. And so unfortunately, at this point, our Israel operations are more on the back burner, but it is part of our our goals is to make it happen more in Israel as well, because Israel is one of the forerunners for the cannabis industry in the world. And they have a very interesting system. So that's still on our plate, but for now we're mostly US focused. We also are at some point going to start manufacturing out of Israel. What my partner is doing now, or temporarily side partner, what he's doing now is actually working with a medical prototyping company that we're invested in and learning all the machinery there. And one of our goals, possibly in a year or two, is to start producing our own stuff as well. And so he's gonna probably head that up when we get to that point in about a year or two. And for now, he's just working there and learning all the machinery and stuff while he deals with personal family issues.
Makes sense. No, I mean, Israel's an interesting place because when you look at startups, Israel is a leader. I mean, and so is Austin, right? So it's like, Can you talk more about that? I mean, you know, like, what does the startup and business culture look like, you know, comparatively to Austin, Texas, and, you know, in Israel?
Well, Israel is like, it's been called the startup nation. I actually joke that Israel's main export is startup companies. It's like, that's the thing that comes out of Israel more than anything is startups. I'd say the culture is actually pretty similar to Austin, especially Austin within the past like five years or so. Israel has per capita, though, the highest percentage of startups out of like any country. There's like thousands of startups coming out of Israel every year. One of the things that I've really learned from that, though, is that there's for every like 100 startups, only like one or two of them are going to really, really pan out. So, you know, you see a lot of that as well. And that's part of the stress, I think, is being in a startup market. You know, you really do have to find that niche and stand out. I think, honestly, we're heading towards, in general, in the U.S. society, more of a startup market with the advent of AI like you guys are into. And with the advent of automation, like robotic automation, I feel like there's going to come a point where the only thing people can do is start up their own little something. So I don't know. I guess we'll see how that goes. But I see that coming. That as jobs decrease, we're gonna have more of this startup. So you know, I'm happy to get the opportunity to be a part of a startup now and really grow with it and learn from all the other people I've seen go through the process several times. You know,
100%. So speaking of AI and technology, what would you say the role of that is when it comes to your business?
So as of now, we haven't really delved into it too much. I think where my main focus on AI will be with like social media marketing, because it's so intensive that, you know, you either have to hire, I feel like you really either have to hire somebody to do it, not have really any social media marketing, or, you know, chip away at it like little by little. And I think AI can step into that role. Taking analytics, for example, taking Google Analytics of your web page and analytics of this and figuring out how and when to post what type of post. Now, I could see using AI for that. Other than that, I think, you know, what's it called? Mass marketing, email marketing, things like that. I think AI is already kind of at that point where you can do like mass email blasts using AI, and it, you know, works out pretty well.
But do you think AI, for example, like you mentioned earlier, that a big focus for you is the information piece of it. So do you view AI as a tool that could provide information to your potential customers? You know, somebody lands like on your website, they can have, you know, like a live conversation with a high level chatbot, and they can provide them the information kind of that you were talking about, you know, educate them about your product, about just the industry, what questions they have. Like, I think, you know, that could definitely be of value, maybe not now, but in the future.
I hadn't thought of that in particular. There's so much that we haven't even thought of yet for what we call AI to be able to do. I think AI is kind of a misleading term, but what we've already developed so far, I think, is really the tip of the iceberg. I think definitely that, you know, having a chatbot that connected to an encyclopedic data source 100% could be amazing. I think the one risk is the source material that it's getting. You know, if it's just grabbing from the internet, it's going to get a lot of bullshit material. But if it's, you know, fed proper information, say from like the Harvard Research Library and the Israeli like company libraries, I think that could be super useful and save a lot of energy from, you know, somebody having to be there typing and everything. So yeah, I think that's a great idea and probably will be implemented in many cases.
Makes sense. So in terms of right now in the business, what would you say is your biggest challenge?
I think at the moment, my biggest challenge is really just breaking into the industry. It's a big industry to break into, you know, and I chip away at it. But once again, you know, I do a lot of the person-to-person stuff, and that goes, it makes a mark, but you're still doing it slowly, piece by piece. And social media is sort of like a hit or miss if you don't have like a social media manager, which I don't have one at the moment. I do all the social media myself. And if you're doing it yourself, you know, make waves. I get on Instagram Live and I talk to people and I push it. But there's just so many people out there and so much for them to look at. So I think really making headway into the industry itself, into the culture itself, is my biggest hurdle. On that same token, though, it's also sort of the most exciting part. Like I said, I'm starting to work with glass artists now and small businesses. And to me, that's part of that process of taking it to the next level of their audience is now going to be my audience and my audience is going to be their audience. And together with enough small businesses, enough artists banding together, we'll eventually like be enough of a community to all support each other that we won't have to rely on the social media necessarily. But for now, breaking through that social media, doing things like this podcast, that's the toughest part, is just getting the info out there.
100%. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
I think one of the biggest pieces of advice I kind of did know, but sort of ignored when starting the company: take the time to plan. Sometimes we want to rush into things and sometimes it's necessary to build that initial momentum, but planning things out and figuring out next steps is essential. And taking 2 months for somebody to plan their next year can save them 4 to 6 months of energy if they don't plan. You know, that 1 year project could end up being a year and a half or 2 years because they didn't take that 2 months in the beginning to plan things out.
100%. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for Vapor Buddy?
I think in a year from now, ideally, we're going to be in some of the really big shows around the country, like Champs and stuff, having a table and being able to show up in different parts of the U.S. And people have heard the name Vapor Buddy and know what it's about. No, oh, Vapor Buddy's here. We're going to learn about some cannabis and maybe press some flower, you know. So I think that's really like, that's where I see is in some of the big shows. Champs is a big one I hope to be at within a year or so. That's one of the biggest ones, the big glass show and vendor show. Other than that, you know, it'd be nice to go viral on social media, but I'm not going to hold my breath for that, you know.
Are you on TikTok?
I can't be on TikTok. That's actually one of the real hurdles. You asked me about the hurdles of working with cannabis. That's one of the real hurdles, is like, you can't even say the word cannabis on TikTok. You will get taken off.
Maybe you could be there and kind of, some subliminal messaging, you know, not mention specific.
That's what I'd have to do. I've been cogitating. I've been thinking about how to get into that. But it is, you have to, Instagram's been pretty okay with me so far. I haven't had too many issues. Once in a while, I have to remove a post or rename a post or things like that. But working through that, figuring that out is, how to tiptoe around these things. I'm hoping with time as well and education that a lot of these companies loosen up.
No, yeah, but I'm just statistically speaking, I think the easiest way to go viral organically is on TikTok. So it's like, if you can
probably right.
Yeah, if you can post about your business in a kind of a subliminal way and not mention, you know, specifically like you mention it, but not the word cannabis. There's ways around it for sure. I think it's
100%.
Yeah, you could definitely.
I have to think about that and be very careful. But yeah, I've been hesitant to jump into TikTok because it's just such a, you know, even running Instagram is a big ordeal. But I think you're right. TikTok is probably the most viral platform at the moment.
Makes sense. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media handles? Like best sure. way for somebody to get in contact with you?
Yeah. So my website is VaporBuddy. You can see right there. It's backwards, I guess. VAPER. Like someone who vapes, not like the actual vapor itself, but someone who vapes. I'm the buddy of the vapor. So vaporbuddy.com. Pretty easy to find. You type in VaporBuddy, type in .com, and there you go. On Instagram, it's also VaporBuddy, vapor.buddy. I'm on Instagram live all the time. So if anyone that wants to sees me in a live, come and chat. I love answering questions of all sorts. And yeah, that's basically it. VaporBuddy on, technically we're on Facebook too, but on Instagram, VAPER.BUDDY, VaporBuddy.com. Those are my two best ways to find me and talk to me.
Awesome. Would you say, I'm just wondering, does the Instagram Live, that help you out in terms of like business and awareness, or is it more just like, you know, kind of like just for fun?
It's a mix. It's a real mix. It depends on who I'm getting in there. I've actually made a few connections to some of my artists because of Instagram Live. So in that sense, it's been very useful. In the sense of drawing customers, it depends on who I'm on with, I think, a lot of the times. If I'm on with someone else who's also like has a small business or whatever and a following, then it's more likely that will be driven to my website versus if I'm on with just a bunch of people who are hanging out. And I do both, mostly because I'm too lazy to switch to another account. No, but I do both. And I think it's important for people just to see the name out there. So yeah, I think it's about 50-50, I'd say, for the Instagram Live.
Well, yeah, I haven't done it yet, but I'll have to try it out. So yeah, Ronan, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and we're rooting for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Have a good one.